Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb on CBS Sports Radio.
Top 10 mock draft coming up at 8 p.m. Eastern. You don't want to miss it. 10 insiders from all the teams in the top 10 pick. And then at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, Ross Tucker will join us to break down the NFL draft as well. But the biggest news of the day is now we know the compensation for Aaron Rodgers heading to the New York Jets. We'll see when that deal does become official, but it's basically official since Schefter put out the info. But anyway, hot take, Kiki, take it away.
Let's start right there, Zach, because now the wait is finally over and Aaron Rodgers, unofficially but basically officially, like you just said, is a New York Jet. Now, looking forward, the four-time MVP winner will join a New York offense that does have reigning Offensive Rookie of the Year in wide receiver Garrett Wilson. You also have former teammate of Aaron Rodgers, Alan Lazard. Breece Hall, who before he got hurt was treading to be the Offensive Rookie of the Year, and also his former offensive coordinator guy he loves in Nathaniel Hackett. Onsides or offsides, Zach? Aaron Rodgers will make the Pro Bowl in 2023.
So since the Pro Bowl is basically irrelevant, correct me if I'm wrong here, three quarterbacks go to the Pro Bowl, right?
Top three. And we're not, this does not count in someone injured or doesn't want to go, and then you're a Pro Bowl replacement.
Okay.
Because if that's the case, Tyler Huntley was a Pro Bowler last year.
Mac Jones 2 years ago,
Mac Jones 2 years ago. So we'll say he is chosen as one of the three quarterbacks, no injury replacement.
Oh, you're no fun.
And be a Pro Bowl quarterback in 2023.
This is why you're no fun, because you put that stipulation. But then someone will hear me say Aaron Rodgers is not going to make the Pro Bowl, and then I'll make it on a technicality, and then they'll put out there, oh, Zach Gill, back on April 24th, this jackass said Rodgers wasn't going to be a Pro Bowl quarterback. Like, on paper, in just the AFC, I would rather right now, in just the AFC, have Mahomes, have Burrow, and also have Josh Allen. Just for starters. Like, you want to tell me Herbert? Okay, you could argue that. You want to tell me Lawrence? Okay, you could argue that. Rodgers will end up making the Pro Bowl because I know he won't be in the Super Bowl. And I know either Mahomes or Burrow or Allen will. But just based off initially getting there, no, I would trust the other three quarterbacks more so than Aaron Rodgers. Just those three, Mahomes, Burrow, and Josh Allen. But I do think Rodgers will eventually get in because someone will opt out. The question just is, does Rodgers actually want to go to the Pro Bowl? So based off of no opt-outs or anything like that, Aaron Rodgers will not be a Pro Bowler, so I will go offside.
Offside!
You know he'll end up getting there, though, because everyone drops like flies for the Pro Bowl. It's just the matter of if you actually want to go.
I don't think he would go.
I don't know. I'm assuming this past year why he didn't go. Like, he wasn't initially voted in, I don't believe. And I don't think why he didn't go was because of the fact that he had the thumb injury, too. And he also wanted to go into some cave and go on a darkness retreat, too.
Like, if you're Aaron Rodgers at this point, do you, like, it's flag football. You've won the MVP four times.
I don't know.
If you don't make it initially, and you're an injury replacement or, you know, replacement for the guy if he's in the Super Bowl, you can't go.
You can if you want to. Do I think he has a burning desire to go? Probably not, but Aaron Rodgers is such a bizarre dude that you're trying to tell me to get inside the brain of Aaron Rodgers? Yeah.
Do we have any idea where the Pro Bowl is? Is it back in Vegas? Is that like a...
I have no clue.
I know that that's where the Super Bowl is, and it was in Vegas, the Pro Bowl last year. I don't know if that was a site that was... Like, they're going to repeat
it. It was in Vegas last year?
Yes.
And I think it was in Vegas the year before that.
I think, yes, you were right about that. That's where Evan Kamara got in trouble. You're right. And Mac Jones is running untouched for like 80 yards for a touchdown.
Now, the Super Bowl is in Vegas this year.
Yes. So probably not then. You're not going to play in the same field.
You could. I don't know.
The only reason why I ask is I wonder if the location, you know, matters to where if it's like Miami, oh, yeah, I'll go. Compared to, I don't know, Hawaii, or maybe he'd be too cool for that. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. All right.
If you have it in a dark location, he would be down to go.
That is for sure. So speaking of the trade, the trade itself, the compensation that is reportedly being put out there for between the Jets and the Packers, it's a massive one. Now, according to Adam Schefter, the Jets will receive Aaron Rodgers. They also will get a 2023 fifth-round pick from the Packers, and the Packers and the Jets swapped first-round picks in 2023, meaning Packers get pick number 13 overall in this year's draft. The Jets get number 15 in this year's draft as well. Now, the Packers, in their return of giving Aaron Rodgers, will get a 2023 second-round pick and a sixth-round pick and a conditional 2024 second-round pick that could turn into a first if Aaron Rodgers plays 65% of the snaps this season. Onsides or offsides? Both sides should feel good about this trade.
Yeah, I would say so onsides, because if you're a Jet fan, you have hope. You expect your team to make the playoffs. I don't think the Jets will win a Super Bowl with Rodgers, but you do have hope for the first time in a long time, probably since the last time you had back-to-back AFC championship games and Mark Sanchez is your quarterback. Now you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. And if you're a Packers fan, some Packers fans probably didn't want to see Rodgers go, but if you're being realistic, he wasn't winning another Super Bowl with you, and you already drafted Jordan Love, so the timing to move on does make sense. And ultimately, why I'm happy if I'm a Packers fan, yes, you get that second-round pick this year, which is 42nd overall. Yes, you move up two draft spots, and you find a way to go from 15 to 13. But more importantly, it was what were those conditions going to be on that second-round pick? And the fact that it's nothing to do with Rodgers being on the Jets roster next year, as that was speculated, like, oh, he has to be on the roster a year from now. And it has nothing to do with the Jets making the playoffs, or has nothing to do with the Jets going to an AFC title game or having a home playoff game. The fact that all he has to do, from what is being reported, just play 65% of the snaps, that seems very likely that you're going to get that first round pick. And even if he does get hurt, it's a second round pick. And if you're a Jet fan and you make the playoffs, you shouldn't give a rat's ass that you had to give up a first round pick to get Aaron Rodgers anyway. So I think this is good all around on sides.
Let's transition to a little basketball.
It's a pretty fair deal, right?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
Like, I'm impressed with what the Packers did, but overall, I don't think either side really would be upset. I don't think any fan base could actually be upset outside of it's just, okay, this is what Rodgers did in the past. We love Rodgers, and you're just upset to see him go. In terms of the actual value, I think both sides made out pretty well.
The only way this can get frustrating if you're a Jets fan is if Aaron Rodgers plays
retires
70% of the snaps and then retires and you lose a first round pick and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
But that's the risk you're taking when you're, you know, going for a guy whose future, even the next day, can't be trusted what he's going to do.
Now, don't get me wrong. Ayahuasca Aaron is pretty unpredictable.
Yes.
But I would be very surprised. And I know nothing should surprise me about Aaron Rodgers anymore. But I would be very surprised if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play bare minimum 2 years in New York. Just for starters. Remember, Nathaniel Hackett is his boy. You going to leave your boy out there to dry?
Again, with Aaron Rodgers, I think anything and everything's on the table. You never know with him.
Here's the big question. Does Rodgers go on a darkness retreat after this year?
He's going to do something. He's absolutely doing something.
Will he show up for OTAs?
No. No chance. You will not see him in New Jersey until July 25th.
Okay.
That's my guess.
I don't know. I can't predict him. The only thing I will predict is that he'll play 2 years, bare minimum, in New York.
All right. If we move to the basketball court, the Warriors yesterday evened up their series against the Kings with a nail-biting 126-125 victory. Steph Curry was tremendous offensively, scoring 32 points, but did almost cost Golden State the game by late calling a timeout when the Warriors didn't have any, leading to a four-point play for Sacramento. And then, up by just one with 12 seconds left in the game and 8 seconds still left on the shot clock, Steph Curry decided to take a shot, did miss that opening door for Sacramento to have a chance to win the game. Harrison Barnes misses a three, and that's how the Warriors do hold on. Now, also some injury news coming out earlier today that we learned. De'Aaron Fox is listed as doubtful after fracturing his left index finger midway through the fourth quarter for this game. Onsides or offsides, the Warriors will win the series.
And Hickey, you tweeted out, right, that you think he's playing in game five.
Oh, he's playing. No doubt about it.
Oh, I can't say no doubt about it. And usually when the NBA lists someone as doubtful, I'm very much positive that the player will end up playing. I know he suffered this injury during the game and he played through it. I think in the moment that's a little bit different. Even if he does play, how effective will he be as well? That's the big question. I can't believe I'm going to go back on my words with this one, because I thought this series was over after it being 2-0. Kings being the best road team in the Western Conference in the league, I thought they would get one in Golden State in either games three or four yesterday. The Kings were throwing away the game, and that was the first time in this series that they looked young. And then Steph Curry took a timeout when he didn't have any. And then the next thing you know, it's a one-point game. Barnes has the ball. Open shot, does not hit it. And then this is 2-2 going back to Sacramento. But now we don't know if Fox is going to play. And even if he does play, and if Hickey's so confident about something, it makes me think he's not going to play. But even if he does play, then how effective will he be? Hey, I'm going to wave the white flag here. I'm going to go back on my words. I'm not going to be stubborn like you. I think Golden State's going to win this series now. Onsides. I hope I'm wrong because I really want Sacramento to win this series. But yesterday, with how they almost threw the game away and they still had a chance to go win it at the end, Barnes has to hit that shot. He has to hit that shot. That's as good of a look as you're going to get. You need to make that shot, and he didn't. And now you get the double whammy of the Fox injury. Yeah, 2-2 yesterday. I didn't feel horrible with it being 2-2. But now with the Fox injury, that does not make me feel good. And what is now a best of three series where the Warriors survived all the Draymond nonsense. And oh, nice of him yesterday to volunteer to come off the bench. Wonderful for him. But you had a chance to really knock him out yesterday and you didn't. I kind of feel like now the Warriors are winning this series. Oh, that pains me to say that.
All right, let's talk about more pain because Dylan Brooks is feeling the pain because
the
believes...
Rangers are down 1-0 right now. That's pain.
That's not good. That's not good.
They got to pick it up.
That's for sure. Dylan Brooks believes the media, not himself, the media is doing him dirty. Now, after practice
Bum
on Sunday,
Brooks.
The controversial Brooks, or some people like to call him Bum Brooks, said the reason he was ejected from Saturday's Game 3 was because of the villain reputation that the media and fans have bestowed on him. Now, if we go back just last week, not that long ago, after game number 2, Dylan Brooks himself was the one who says he likes to poke bears and also called LeBron James quote-unquote old. Now, also, if you look in the regular season stats, Dylan Brooks received a league-high 18 technical fouls.
Bum Brooks.
Onsides or offsides, you agree with Dylan Brooks that he is unfairly portrayed as a villain.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you asking me this question hoping that I die on the radio just out of me freaking out and then you replace me and you become the host of then the Zach Gelb Show, now it would then be called the Ryan Hickey Show? Because that's what I think your motive is here. And Ack is even
not shaking
his head. Absolutely,
what?
Yes.
Ack, I thought you were on my side.
No.
I know you.
I think there's a motive here. I think Hickey's trying to kill me on my own radio show because you know how much I'm annoyed at Bum Brooks because it was so stupid. I don't respect anyone that doesn't drop 40 on me. Like, give me a break. This guy is such a clown. You're even seeing reports now the Grizzlies are fed up with him and wouldn't be surprised if he's off the team this upcoming offseason. And now it's the media's fault. You ran your mouth, and then your entire team, it didn't give your team any jolt of energy in that game 3. It was 35-9. I thought my phone, I'm at the Ranger game. When I looked and saw the score was 35-9, I thought someone messed up when uploading the box score, and it's probably 35-29. And Bum Brooks had 0 points in that first quarter. Come on, give me a break. This guy is such a clown. Oh, yeah, it's the media's fault. James Harden, say what you want, doesn't show up in the postseason. But I don't think people look at James Harden as a villain. He got ejected for doing basically the same thing. And I thought that was ridiculous. Full disclosure, I didn't think Bum Brooks should have got ejected. But it's not the media's fault that you ran your mouth and that's what got you ejected. It'd be one thing if Harden didn't get tossed, even though it was stupid that he got tossed, but he did, and then you got tossed. I have a problem with the ejection. I don't like the ejection, but this is in no way the media's fault. But this is what a bum does. This is what Bum Brooks does. You run your mouth, then you take no accountability, you blow off the media after the game, and you don't even face the music, and now all of a sudden, oh, I'm the victim. Oh, give me a break. This guy is insufferable. Go Lakers. I hope they beat the living snot out of your basketball team. Go Lakers. Win the series. Because this guy, Bum Brooks, insufferable. Dylan Brooks is unfairly portrayed as a villain. The audacity of you even asked me that question.
Offside.
Thank you. I don't even need to say.
Hard to see where you're leaning there. All right, finally.
Bum Brooks.
It's been a forgettable series for Donovan Mitchell. Huh. Since scoring 38 points in the Cavs Game 1 loss to the Knicks, Mitchell, the next three games, has combined to score 50 points on just 42% shooting from the field. Going back to yesterday's game in game number 4, he scored just 2 points in the second half of that loss, and now the Cavs head back to Cleveland, down 3-1 in this series. Onsides or offsides? Donovan Mitchell has been the most disappointing player in the postseason so far.
Oh, absolutely. I know the other day we were talking about Karl Anthony Towns, but no one expected the Timberwolves to actually win that series. You look at Donovan Mitchell, on paper they should win this series. And they're easily not going to, and only have 2 points yesterday in the fourth quarter. And I know he didn't get to control which team he went to. He wanted to go to the Knicks, but the Knicks weren't going to give up the capital to do so. The Cavs ended up matching it, so give credit to Danny Ainge, who now runs Utah. You got to give him credit for that. Okay. But you go into that series on paper having the best player, and you've been outplayed by Jalen Brunson. You've been outplayed by even Josh Hart as well. Yeah, the Knicks are not only winning this series, they're decisively winning this series as well. So Mitchell's been the most disappointing player because this is a guy that has a postseason pedigree of the past, and he's been pretty much a no-show. And in a game where you need to win to get this back to Cleveland for Game 5, he had 2 points in the second half. So that's onsides. Mitchell's been the most disappointing player in the postseason.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
You can think of O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's start things off with Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst says talks with the Jets intensified over the last week.
5, 6, 7 days we've been talking. Much longer than that. But I think the last 5 or 6 days over the weekend and stuff that there's been a lot of conversation that helped us get to this point. But again, there's still things that need to be done. It's not finalized, but we do expect it to be done here in the next couple days.
Let me ask you this. What still needs to be done? It's Rodgers, pick number 15, 2023rd fifth round pick. That's what the Jets get. The Packers get number 13, 2023 second-round pick, which is 42nd overall, a sixth-round pick, and a conditional 2024 second-round pick that becomes a first if Rodgers plays 65% of the plays. That's from Schefter. What else is there really to do here, Hickey, in terms of the compensation?
Well, I wonder maybe if this is the Packers who leaked it out, and maybe the second-round condition is where, or maybe the condition of what turns a second to a first is still up for debate. And maybe the Packers are trying to apply leverage now, because if you're a Jets fan,
what leverage though?
Aaron Rodgers is coming to town. Oh my God, let's get the deal done. And if you're Joe Douglas, you can't afford to screw this up. So if there's contention about,
I don't want 65. Wait, let me ask you this.
Yes.
You don't think the number is 65? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm asking. You're talking about what else could be talked about. I think there could be, still quabbling over what exactly is the conditions to get the second round pick into a first round pick.
From whose perspective? I don't get what you're saying.
From both sides.
I think this is pretty much simple. I don't think anyone comes out today and says this team's getting screwed or that team's getting screwed.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the report is out there from Adam Schefter. Brian Gutekunst is telling you it's not done yet. So you're asking, what are they talking about? And I'm saying, I think it's not more commutation. I think it's more the discussion of what will lead for the second-round pick turning to a first-round pick. That is what I'm telling you. That's what I believe.
But this is what I don't get. What else do you think there is to negotiate on that?
The number. I think the Packers want it like 65% or somewhere in
that's
that range.
Nothing.
I agree. If you're the Packers, you say, okay, that's exactly what I'll take. Maybe if you're Joe Douglas, you're saying either want that percentage higher or want it tied to success, tied to a playoff appearance, tied to going, winning a playoff game. I don't know. You're asking a question.
Yeah.
I'm answering it.
I may need an Advil after that response. Brian Gutekunst on why he wanted to get the trade done before the draft.
I just think certainly the capital for this year, was very important, certainly more valuable than future stuff. So for our football team, there was a number of reasons, but that's why.
This is done. This is just, it's not, sent in, I guess, the league office, and all the T's and the I's aren't dotted. But in terms of the actual negotiations, I don't get what else could happen here. Jalen Hurts says the money won't change his desire to win. Jalen Hurts had, it's not an introductory press conference, but his first press conference since getting that big five-year deal for $255 million. Let's hear from the Eagles quarterback.
I have mixed emotions right now. I have mixed emotions. I'm grateful and I am thankful, but ain't no buts, but I'm just so hungry. And as I said, the hard work continues and the fire continues to burn.
Jalen Hurts says his focus hasn't changed since getting the new deal.
Yeah, I think money is nice. Championships are better.
I love his mentality. And sometimes guys get paid and they're like, oh, this money doesn't mean anything. It's all about winning championships. I'm not saying he doesn't care about the money, because everyone does care about the money. You got to credit his agent too, and Nicole Lynn, who did a phenomenal job just quickly getting this deal done. And it's probably nice that you don't have to have any distractions. But now it's like, okay, you move on from the contract. It took up basically none of your time with how ugly sometimes these negotiations or how pointless these negotiations sometimes go on. Like, just look at the Cowboys for all those years with Dak Prescott, or what's going on right now with Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. So I think if you're Jalen Hurts, he's always in the mindset. Like, I'll never forget when he won the NFC title game. I'm in the press conference room. I got the first question. I go, Jalen, when you hear that the Philadelphia Eagles are going to the Super Bowl and you're going to be playing the Super Bowl in 2 weeks, like, just what goes to your mind? And he gave like a 2 or 3 word response, because he's so focused on the next game and he's so focused about not breaking, I don't want to say character, because I do believe this is who he is, but he sets the tone for that locker room, Hickey, and his leadership style just spreads and spreads and spreads, where everyone follows the lead of Jalen Hurts in a veteran locker room with teams, with teammates that have won a championship in Philadelphia. And he sets a tone for that locker room. Not that you don't celebrate victories, not that you're not happy after a victory, but you never want to get too low, or you never want to end up getting too high.
He's a coach's dream. He's an organization's dream. When you he gets the money he wants. We've seen plenty of players not go in the tank, but, oh, I got the payday. Like, that was what I was playing for. And now the motivation slips. He's telling you, I got paid, and basically he's not going to change one iota of my motivation or focus.
100%. David Zeigler, the Raiders general manager, discussed if his Jimmy G, that new contract, 3 years, prevents the Raiders from drafting a QB in the first round. Remember, the Raiders had the 7th overall pick.
Not necessarily. I think that, you know, anytime you can find a young player at that position that's going to have an impact on your team, you have to keep an open mind to that. Of course, we're excited to have Jimmy, and having Jimmy does supply us with a very high-quality starting player at the position. And so we feel comfortable with that. But I think to close that door, you know, and just say that that's not something you would do because of X, Y, and Z, that's not the business that we're in.
So first off, we got to know who the quarterbacks are that are available. But secondly, Hickey, if they're going to take a quarterback at 7, I know the relationship clearly was not good between Carr and Josh McDaniels, but why move on from Carr and bring in Jimmy G if you do end up, like, this all mute point if they don't take a quarterback. But if they take a quarterback, it is kind of weird where they just gave Carr that new deal and it was very easy to get out of it. And I got to see what the outs are in the Jimmy G contract, but they just gave him a 3-year deal. If you take a quarterback, it's probably going to be Richardson or Levis, and by design, you'll sit a year, bare minimum. But it really doesn't make sense when you could have just got out of the Carr deal a year from now. I know there's guarantees and all that that would have kicked in, but it doesn't make sense to move on from Carr to then go to Jimmy G if you're just going to take a quarterback here at 7. I'm not saying it's crazy for them to take a quarterback. I just don't get the direction of the Raiders here.
Well, that's, I mean, you asked that question, we could spend 4 hours on that and not come to a conclusive idea one way or another. It's a mess. The only thing I will say is, if you're the Raiders, and look, no one really saw the Texans not taking a quarterback coming until the last few weeks. Like, realistically, if Stroud is falling, if Stroud falls,
that's different.
Maybe that makes Anthony Richardson fall, and all of a sudden now you're sitting there at 7, and you thought when you signed Jimmy G, well, Richardson's probably gone, Stroud's probably gone. Yeah. I think it changed your calculus. But yes, to sign Jimmy G with the thought of then drafting a quarterback when you had Derek Carr, and you're trying to win now, but also you're not really trying to win now. We have no idea what the hell the Raiders are trying to do.
Can I tell you what I'm really hoping for here?
Sure.
I want Will Levis on either the Colts or the Raiders. It would be very Colt and Raider-like for Will Levis to wind up on one of those two teams.
I'd agree with one of those, and I think you know which team I'd be in agreement with.
Wow, we finally got you to admit that you want Levis in the Colts. That's awesome. Great job. Proud of you. All right, let's hear Steve Kerr takes blame for Steph Curry, who called the timeout when he didn't have one yesterday and almost cost them the game.
100% my fault. I knew we didn't have any timeouts left. We took the challenge, and when the challenge was unsuccessful, as we were exiting the huddle, that's on me. I've got to remind the guys we're out of timeouts. I didn't say that, and so Steph wasn't aware. So that's on me for not making that clear.
Now, in the moment, Kerr's like, we don't have any timeouts right away. So he's saying he didn't tell his players and remind them. Steph Curry's got to know he doesn't have any timeouts. I get it, right? Coach is going to not throw his star player under the bus there. Steph Curry also has to know how many timeouts are left. Like, Kerr knew it. Even if he didn't say it, Curry still has to know they don't have any timeouts. Steph Curry on why he called the timeout.
I ain't going to lie. I thought it was the smartest play in the world. when I got the ball, turned around, saw a trap, realized there was no real outlets. Instead of turning it over, it's kind of the heady play, but it turned out not to be. I looked over at the bench and everybody was shaking their head. So it was an unfortunate situation in that respect, but good learning lesson.
Well, you won, so we could all laugh at it now. If you didn't win, ooh, that would be ugly, ugly, ugly. Dylan Brooks blames the media for his ejection on Saturday night.
The media making me a villain. The fans making me a villain. And then that just creates a whole different persona on me. I'm playing basketball, a basketball player. So if I intended, and that's whatever is in the Fragrant 2 category of having a Fragrant 2, and you think I did that, that means you think I'm that type of person. And that's why I don't rate Mark Taylor at all.
I don't think he should have got ejected, but neither should James Harden. And I don't think James Harden has a bad relationship with the media. So it's tough for you now to say the media makes you the villain. You were the clown that elected to run his mouth and then didn't back it up against one of the greatest players of all time. So Bum Brooks is just being Bum Brooks, and there's no accountability there. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Our yearly top 10 mock draft comes your way next. 10 experts, 10 teams. Let's see how it all goes down 5 minutes from now.